Good morning. Today I'm reading from Psalm 3, which is on page 770 in the Pew Bibles. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people.
We are starting the year by letting the wonderful poems and songs in the book of Psalms to instruct our minds, direct our feelings, and tune our hearts to live the Psalms' vision of the good life in Jesus. I've been really enjoying preaching through the Psalms this summer. I've been particularly encouraged to hear how some of you have been able actually to share some of these Psalms with family and friends to also help them think things through, to also bring about perhaps a sense of calm in God's Word, and for them to be directed to fix their eyes in God. And today we're looking at Psalm 3, which is a psalm of lament. The significance of psalms of lament is that God welcomes your sorrows. He welcomes you to bring to him your uncertainty, your pain, or your sense of disorientation in life. And so that's why the psalm of laments are in the Bible. God welcomes you to come to him in your lament. But a very important difference between the Psalms of Lament and, say, a good counselor is that God, like a good counselor, welcomes you to come to him openly in lament. But unlike a good counselor, he sends you away in open praise to God. God, through the Psalms, welcomes you to come openly to lament, but he sends you away in open praise to God. And that is why these poems or songs of lament are in the book of Psalms, God's worship book. That is a grace, a gift, a transformative power of the Psalms of lament, that even in your lament, God's word can enable you to praise and worship God. And so that's why it's a false mentality to only rock up to church when you feel good. It's actually when you feel bad, anxious, confused, that you need to come to church the most. Because by God's word, God welcomes us to openly come to him in our lament so that he can send us away to openly praise his glory and grace. And that is the gift and grace of God's word. Psalm 3 especially deals with the experience of hostility and opposition. It is a psalm for those moments in life when someone is rooting for your demise. Have you been there? Or are you there right now? And that is the situation that brings rise to this psalm. If you have your Bibles open to Psalm 3, you'll notice the inscription, a little title at the top of Psalm 3 that says this: A Psalm of David when he fled from his son, Absalom. This psalm was written by King David, and his son Absalom is seeking to kill his father to take his throne. There are a few crimes more horrifying than when a son attacks his own father. King David is running for his life from his own son. The story of Absalom's rebellion is found in 2 Samuel, chapters 15 to 19. Absalom had begun plotting for the throne. While David was busy governing the nation, Absalom charmed the people to get on his side. And when the rebellion began, David's enemy came out of the woodworks and rallied to Absalom to join the uprising. This is the horrific background of Psalm 3. Psalm 3 is speaking into the experiences when the closest people in our lives, loved ones, turn against us, attack us, and betray us. This is a sad experience in families. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, this is sadly experienced in church families and more painfully in ministry teams. You've either experienced this personally yourself or you've known someone who's gone through this kind of experience. The common narrative is this: these are the people whom I loved, whom I've nurtured, whom I've invested time and energy. These are the people I've opened my family to. These are the people whom I consider my friends. I can't believe that this is how they would treat me. What Psalm 3 does is it takes this experience of hostility and opposition, which is filled with pumping adrenaline, filled with stabbing pains of betrayal and dizzying confusion, and transform that intense energy into wholehearted praise and worship of God. The way that God can heal you today, real psychological, emotional, spiritual healing, is to welcome you to come to Him in lament and to send you away out in open praise to God. So how about it? Let's experience God's healing power of His word together in Psalm 3. As David reflects his own experience of hostility, we can see his complaint, his confidence, his calm, and his cry. So firstly, David's complaint, verses 1 and 2. Read with me. How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Selah. David's complaint hinges on the word many. He has many foes. Many have rejected him. David is completely outnumbered. If you ever felt pressed into a corner and feel alone, then you would know the scary feeling of feeling completely overwhelmed and helpless, feeling like there is no one you can turn to. The worst strike of all was the accusation that God had abandoned him. His enemies are causing him to doubt his security in God. David's complaints end with the word Selah. It's included in some Bible translation. If not, you might find a little footnote. If you follow that footnote, it will take you to the bottom and you'll find the word Selah. Selah is a musical marker, which means to pause in the singing while the music continues. As the people sang this psalm in the temple, this was a moment to reflect on David's hopeless situation. So you actually find here that there is a place for instrumentals in the worship of God. And it's there to help people, the people of God, to not let God's word go from one ear and out the other. But the instrumental was to help people to let the word of God stay in their minds, to pause and reflect. To reflect on the words, the lyrics of Psalm 3 so far, which are many foes, many rising, many accusations. So let's pause to reflect. In your mind, many foes, many rising, many accusations. How do you think David responds? How would you respond? Many foes, many rising, many accusations. What we see next in David's response is confidence. Verse 3, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. What is David's response? David is confident in God's protection. God is a shield to David. And describing God as a shield is very interesting. Because when you use a shield doesn't take you away from danger. A shield doesn't take away the arrows and the spears. A shield protects you with the arrows and spears head on. Do you see the significance of that? When David says, look, I'm scared, but I remember you are a shield around me. He's not saying, I'm scared. I know you won't let bad things happen to me. That's not what David is saying. David is saying, I'm scared, but your shielding, your protecting me only works when I move forward. You're not going to shield me from danger. You're going to shield me from the pain and the arrows of danger. While his accusers are trying to make David feel rejected by God, David is confident in his relationship with God because David knew that God would lift his head high. In the ancient world, the king would humiliate their enemies by putting their foot on the neck of a defeated king. I mean, this sounds bad enough to us, but in a culture based on shame and honor, this was ultimate humiliation to be beneath your enemy's foot. David does not have to be ashamed because God is the lifter of his head, we read. A lifter of your head is someone who says, look, I'm proud of you. Get your head up. You're great. Get your head up. You are not what those people say you are. Get your head up. I love you. I will lift your head up. Have you been blessed with a friend who comes into your life as a lifter of your head? Psalm 3 is saying God is more than a friend who lifts your head. He's saying he's the sovereign Lord God who not only has your back in protection, he also upholds your face. And if you come from a shame and honor culture, then you know the significance it is to have face. God not only has your back, he also upholds your face. If you have God's approval, if you have God's honor, if you know that God is proud of you, know that he loves you, then you don't have to be afraid. Therefore, David's confidence was a source of David's calm. Let's continue verse 5 and 6. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Anxiety will keep you awake at night. I know this from personal experience. So I find it incredible that given the situation that David's in, he can declare that he's able to sleep. That's phenomenal. See, David's sleep is a beautiful evidence that he's resting in God's promises. The promise that God has his back and that God will uphold his face. You might be aware sleep science is really popular at the moment. I mean, I've been contemplating kind of a techno ring that kind of tracks my sleep. It's a bit expensive, so I don't know if I'll pull the trigger. But sleep science is a good thing because sleep is very important for our physical well-being. But Psalm helpfully reminds us that sleep is not just a physical activity, but it's also a spiritual activity. Sleep is a grace from God as you trust in the promises of God. Only the promises of God can help you deal with the anxieties of your heart that keep you up at night. So remember to add to your sleep routine, meditating on the promises of God to calm your fears and anxieties. Not only is sleep a grace from God, but have you thought about what a grace it is to wake up in the morning? Waking up is a grace from God because It's the Lord that sustains me. Do you see what the psalm is doing? See, we think sleeping and waking is just a biological process. You know, we just need to kind of track our biorhythms. But the Psalms gives us a theological interpretation of sleeping and waking. The psalmist is giving us God's wisdom for sleeping and waking. See, when you say, look, hey, why did I wake up? We can say it's because of God's sustaining grace. So if you want to get on top of your sleep science, then you need to have a personal relationship with God. Because God will have your back. God will uphold your face. And God will sustain you every day. Therefore, in verse 6, King David says, I will not fear, though tens and thousands assail me on every side. Because God has my back, because God upholds my face, and because God sustains me every day, I will not fear. Because David does not fear, David can now cry out. Verse 7. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my Lord, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. This is a war cry. This is not a war cry expressing that he would defeat his enemies. This is a war cry in the confidence that God will defeat his enemies. Now, I want us to linger a minute on the imagery in verse 7, because I want you to hear it as good news, that God will strike all my enemies on the jaw and break the teeth of the wicked. This is indeed a violent imagery, probably not a verse that you'll find on a mug in your house. But here's the thing. If you find that image troubling, pause for a moment and consider for a minute to think of all the vulnerable people in the world who suffer at the hands of the wicked. For them, this is really good news that God does not ignore all of that. That God is good, and because he's good, he will break the teeth of the wicked. You may not want this verse on your coffee mug, but trust me, there are many women, children in the world who need this verse to make it to another day. Verse 8, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Notice that the psalm concludes with this worshipful response as a direct challenge to verse 2, which was against the enemies who were saying, God's not going to save you. David's enemy were mockingly saying, God's not going to save you. Instead, David says in worship, salvation belongs to the Lord. So here's the thing. Hostility and opposition will either define you or it will refine you. You either find hostility and opposition make you react to the hurt and betrayal and injustice in ways that it will define you by its accusations and bitterness, or you'll find that hostility will be pulling you into a deeper trust, deeper prayer, deeper reflection, deeper repentance, deeper confidence, a deeper worship and trust in God. So that you no longer let your accusers and opposers define you, but you let the promises of God define you. To let the knowledge that God has your back, God upholds your face, and God sustains you every day, so that you can keep walking in obedience to the Lord. God has not given up on you, so God is not done with you yet. Keep following and serving him. Psalm 3 shows us not only how to engage God in hostility, but also reminds us why hostility need not bother us. Because hostility does not have the last word. Because Psalm 3 shows us that the power of hostility and opposition has been broken by God's salvation. See, God had many foes who cried out, "If you are the Son of God, then save yourself from the cross." God's not going to save you. Yet Jesus was shamefully crucified on the cross, but Jesus willingly dies on the shameful cross, knowing that God is the one who will lift his head on high. Jesus dies, he sleeps, but Jesus wakes up again, because it is God who raised him to life, who sustains him through all of his enemies. But Jesus does not fear his enemies, for salvation belongs to the Lord. So the writer of Hebrews, reflecting on Jesus' fulfillment of Psalm 3, reminds us of this in Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy set before him, that is Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you see what the writer of Hebrews is saying? The writer is saying, hey, look, when you experience hostility, when you experience animosity, when people are hating you, when people are rooting for your demise, when they think you're a total idiot, when they want you out, do not grow weary. Brother and sister, do not be faint-hearted. Consider Jesus. He endured hostility. He triumphed over power of hostility. Hostility will not have the last word. So you can endure it. You can stand up from under it. You can bear it with joy. You can worship through it. You can praise God saying, for the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Selah. What does Selah signify? Selah is to pause and reflect. You can let hostility define you, or let hostility refine you. You can let hostility define you, or you can let hostility refine you. Jesus has broken the power of hostility. Friends, be free in Jesus. Be free from all kinds of hostility that you have experienced. Know that God has your back. God upholds your face. God sustains you every day. Be free at last. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Let's worship him in prayer. Father, thank you that we are not alone in hostility and opposition and hate. For your very Son experienced all those things. Help us to consider him in our hurts and pains, and bring our hurts and pains openly to you today. Thank you that we can come to you, the God of the universe, in such an intimate and personal way. Thank you, you hear us. But Father, help us to be free from letting those things define us. Lord, in your mercy and grace, refine us. And glorify you. Father, thank you so much that you are our shield. You've got our back. Father, we thank you that you define our identity. You uphold our face. We are your children, your beloved children. And so we ask that you would sustain us each day. Help us to sleep and help us to wake up to continue to love and serve you. Our gracious Lord, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.